Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah, in this session we'll be reading from the Kitab Islahul Ibadat, means the rectification of the acts of worship, so the different ibadat that a person has to carry out, how to carry out these ibadat in the correct way. This kitab was prepared by Maulana Musa Qadri under the guidance and instruction of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damul Barakatuh. Maulana starts off the introduction to this kitab, explaining what this kitab is about. Sayyid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. O believers, enter into Islam and submission completely and do not follow the footsteps of Shaytan. Surely he is your open enemy. But this verse commands us to enter into complete Islam. This means that we should accept every law and adopt it practically. To accept a law is one thing, and to adopt it, to practice upon it, is a separate thing. By adopting any other path, we will be following in the path of Shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system of life which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. This includes aqaid, a person's beliefs, ibadat, a person's acts of worship, mu'amalat, a person's dealings, mu'asharat, a person's etiquettes, social etiquettes, and akhlaq, his character. The adab of mu'amalat, of business dealings, mu'asharat, social etiquettes will be discussed after Dhuhr, inshallah. Thus enter into this complete framework of Islam, which includes the person's acts of worship, his monetary dealings, his social etiquettes, his social meeting with people, dealing with people, and his akhlaq, his character. Bearing this in mind, my respected Ustad and Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Adamallahu Fuyudahu, requested the servant to prepare some booklets which could be read in the Khanqah daily in Ramadan so that these basic points could be revised. This booklet is the second in the series. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala accepts this booklet through His mercy and makes it a means of benefit for myself and the Ummah at large. Ameen. Note, in this booklet we have discussed some of the relevant or current masail. These masail are in accordance to the verdicts, the fatawa issued by the Madrasa Darul Ifta. It's the Darul Ifta in the Azadwal Madrasa. It's possible that other Darul Iftas in the country may be holding a different view in certain masail. However, if there is a view of permissibility and impermissibility, then we should always act on the more cautious view by exercising abstention. It means if one mufti gives a fatwa of a certain action being permissible, or something being permissible, and another mufti gives a fatwa of this action or this thing being impermissible, then the more precautious view is that of abstention. The person should practice on abstention and as far as possible abstain from it. That will be mustahab. The first chapter, the importance of ibadat. After correcting one's beliefs, one has to be a slave of Allah Ta'ala, which becomes manifest in the following acts of worship. The person being a slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala becomes manifest in the following acts of worship. These must be performed on its appropriate times with all its rules to obtain maximum benefit. The first is salah. The most important aspect in a Muslim's life is his salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the first action to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah will be salah. If a person is found to be proper, his other acts will pass as proper. If his salah is found to be wanting, is found to be spoiled, then all his other acts will fail. Allah save us. In another hadith it is mentioned that salah is the key to Jannah. In the narration of Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the distinguishing factor between kufr and iman is the deliberate neglect of salah. The distinguishing factor between kufr and iman is the deliberate neglect of salah. Remember, however, that performance of salah is not enough. During salah, one is conversing with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Thus, one should carefully watch how he performs his salah. Allah jalla jalaluhu has commanded iqamat ya salah. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in the Quran to perform salah, Allah doesn't say perform the salah, but Allah instructs us to make iqamat of salah. That means to perfect one's salah. This means one should be vigilant with regards to his salah and all the necessary acts related to salah. One should ensure that one is aware of the necessary masail relating to salah, that his tajweed is correct, the salah is performed at the right time, and the salah is performed in jama'at, in congregation for men, in the masjid, and there is outward tranquility and inward concentration when performing salah. This is iqamati salah. When all these, when a person perfects all this, then he is making iqamati, he is establishing and perfecting his salah. A person should continuously strive to better his salah. The second act whereby a person manifests his being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zakat, by discharging zakat. A Muslim must pay 2.5% zakat on his wealth yearly, which will be given to the needy. Like salah, zakah is a fundamental of Islam. Numerous Quranic ayat command the paying of zakah, while warning of dire punishments for refraining from paying zakah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the one who pays zakah on his wealth has purified his wealth. From narrations we learn that firstly, zakat is compulsory, it is fard yearly. Secondly, failure to pay zakat results in calamity and misfortune settling over one. The calamity here on earth is depletion of wealth, elimination of blessings, famine, etc. Whereas the calamity in the hereafter for not paying zakat is the fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us. Besides zakat, there are other rights of wealth. Fulfilling the rights of family members, looking after masajid, madaris and other religious causes, assisting people in dire straits, etc., are some of the rights which are on the wealth of a person. In the third action whereby a person expresses his slavery, his being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is fasting. This refers to abstaining from eating, drinking, and fulfilling one's desires with one's spouse from dawn till sunset during the entire month of Ramadan. Weakness in one's iman and love for Allah ta'ala is strengthened by fasting. By fasting, one strengthens his iman and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, every person has a zakat to pay, and the zakat of the body is fasting. Just as zakat purifies one's wealth, likewise, fasting is the zakat of one's body. It purifies one's body both spiritually and physically. In accordance with one's sincerity and protection of his eyes, tongue, ears, his limbs, heart, thought, and his stomach, from saving them from sins, the more beneficial his fast will be. And the fourth action which will be discussed is that of Hajj. Once in a lifetime, a person must perform Hajj to the house of Allah Ta'ala, if he has the means. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who performs the Hajj without committing any obscenity or immorality comes out of his sins like the day his mother gave birth to him. The person, after he performs his Hajj, if he performs it properly, then he will return sinless without any sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, whoever passes away and he has not performed Hajj, let him die if he wishes as a Jew or a Christian. To perform Umrah once in a lifetime is Sunnah Mu'akkada, and to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great act of worship and a means of great blessings and benefits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us Umrah and Hajj repeatedly. And the fifth act which will be discussed is that of Qurbani. Qurbani, or sacrificing animals on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, is obligatory on those on whom Sadaqatul Fitr is compulsory. It is such a great act of worship that even if it is not obligatory, one should try and render it. The sixth is Tilawah. Daily a person should endeavor to read Quran Sharif. A bare minimum of 2 khatam should be made yearly. Ideally, a non-hafiz should complete a khatam every month, and a hafiz should complete a khatam every 10 days. It means a person should read at least 1 para a day, and a hafiz should read at least 3 paras a day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most virtuous act of worship for my ummah is the recitation of the Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. In the second act, the seventh act, whereby a person shows his slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him being a slave of Allah ta'ala, is by the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala states, make the dhikr of Allah in great abundance so that you may be successful. So through making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is how a person attains success. Every Muslim should take out time daily to engage in dhikrullah. This will create life in a person's actions and save him from many evils and problems. As we heard last night, dhikr of Allah is not only with the tongue. That is one great way of making the dhikr of Allah. But the dhikr of Allah is also a person should always be in the remembrance of Allah. So even when his tongue cannot be engaged in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot be engaged in making tasbih or tahmeed, Then a person's heart should be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all his actions should be in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. That is also part of dhikrullah. Then the eight is following the sunnah. Allah ta'ala states, whatever the messenger gives you, then accept it. And whatever he prohibits you from, abstain from it. In every action, a Muslim must endeavor to follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether in acts of worship or habits like eating, drinking, sleeping, relieving oneself, marriage, funerals, etc. The closer we bring ourselves to his beloved lifestyle, the more successful we will be in this world and the hereafter. And the ninth is calling towards righteousness and prohibiting evil. Allah Ta'ala states, let there be amongst you a group of people which calls towards virtue, commands good and prevents evil. They are the successful ones. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when people become involved in sin and among them are such people who are able to stop them but do not do so, then Allah will send a very gentle punishment over all of them. Even those who are righteous, those who are sinful, those who are righteous have the ability to stop the sinful from being involved in the sin, but they do not do so, and Allah will destroy all of them. His punishment will come upon everyone. It is the duty of every Muslim subject to Sharia rules to command righteousness and to prevent evil. Every person has some sort of authority, whether it is in his house, his family. To the extent of the person's authority, he should try and prohibit evil and encourage as much as good as he can. Important note, before engaging in abundant nafil optional acts, the qadha of all past salah, fast, zakat, qurbani, etc. must be fulfilled. Many people, after changing their lives, become punctual on acts of worship, on different ibadat, but forget to fulfill their past obligatory duties. Whatever was not discharged in the past, from the time a person became baligh, became of age, then he should discharge it now, as this remains a responsibility on a person's head. The second is, a person should not suffice on mere performance of these actions. A concerted effort should be made to create life and soul in these actions. The object of these actions is connection with Allah Ta'ala. This connection and perfection of actions is acquired in the company of Ahlullah, in the company of the pious servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the first chapter, the masail they discuss is the masail of taharat, of cleanliness, masail of wudu, of ghusl. After istinja, cleansing oneself, after a person relieves himself and he cleanses himself, then istibara is wajib. Istibara means to ensure to the best of one's ability that the last few drops of urine in the bladder have been expelled. This can be done in the following ways. First is leaning towards the left side of the body and squeezing the private part slightly so that whatever drops of urine are left comes out. The second method is lying down on the left side for a little while before going to make wudu. The third, walking a few brisk steps after istinja, or any other similar movement which a person finds that will ensure that all the urine drops are removed. If one suffers from the emergence of urine drops after leaving the toilet, then place toilet paper over the front private part before dressing. Thereafter, when one is satisfied that the dripping is stopped, remove the toilet paper. Placing toilet paper will protect the clothes from becoming soiled and impure. If even a single drop comes out after making wudu, the wudu will break, resulting in the salah become invalid. If a person has to make wudu, and then after that, while he is going about his day, while he is preparing for salah, even if a single drop of urine has to come out, his wudu will break. And then any salah he performs after that will not be valid. He will have to repeat that salah. Istibra will have to be made first, and thereafter wudu for salah, even if one has to miss the salah in jamaat. Means Mawlana is explaining that if there's a fear of one missing the salah in jamaat by making istibra, then too he should make his istibra. He should ensure that there are no urine drops left which will cause the salah to be broken in any event. It is futile to rush for jamaat without making istibra, and a drop or two emerges during salah, the salah will have to be repeated. The first method of performing wudu, the first thing a person should do is make intention. That is, I am performing wudu to get rid of hadath asghar, to get rid of minor impurity, and to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person should recite, Bismillah, I begin in the name of Allah. Bismillahi walhamdulillah, I begin in the name of Allah, and all praises are due to Allah. Then both the hands should be washed up to the wrist thrice. Then a person should use a miswak for cleaning the teeth and then gargle thrice. Thereafter take water up to the nostrils thrice with the right hand and clean the nose with the left hand. So with the right hand, a person should put water into the nostrils, and with the left hand, he should clean the nose. And during Ramadan, well, if a person is fasting, then the water should not go past the soft part of a person's nose. Should just the front portion of the nose, the water should only reach that part. The next, a person should wash the face thrice, beginning from the hairy part of the forehead till below the chin, and from one earlobe to the other. You should be very careful that the part between the earlobe and the beard gets wet as well. That's also part of the face. If a person doesn't wash this part between the earlobe and the beard, then the wudu is not done. A person's face has not been washed completely. Then a person should make khilal of the beard. He should pass his moist fingers through the beard. Then wash the right hand, including the elbows thrice, followed by the left arm. Then make khilal of the fingers. When washing the elbows, it's not sufficient to just pour water over the limbs. Each limb should be washed properly. The water should be rubbed to make sure that every hair, every strand of hair, every spot on a person's limb gets washed. Thereafter, wet the hands and pass them over the head, ears, and nape once. This is known as masah. There are two ways, generally, ulama say you do this. One is you use three fingers and you pass it over the head. And then using your palm, you bring your hand from the back front again. Or the other way is to wet your entire hand and pass your hand over the head from the front till the back. And then using the back of the three fingers, a person can make masah of his nape, wipe the nape in the back. Then wash the right foot, including the ankles thrice. After washing the right foot, make khilal of the toes with the small finger of the left hand. So after, part of washing the feet is making khilal of the toes, using the small finger of the left hand in between each toe. Then do the same for the left foot. The following dua should be recited during wudu. Allahumma ghafir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. O Allah, forgive my sins, give me expansion in my home, and grant me blessings in my sustenance. Allahumma ghafir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. After wudu, there are two du'as that should be mentioned. The first is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I testify, I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And he testified that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave of Allah and a messenger of Allah. Generated in the hadith of Muslim Sharif that when a person recites this dua, then Umar radiallahu narrates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all the eight doors of Jannah are open for this person. So if a person is punctual on this dua, every time he makes wudu, and then he recites this dua, on the day of Qiyamah, all eight doors of Jannah will be open for him, and he'll be given a choice to enter from whichever door he chooses. The second dua is, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. O Allah, make me of those who repent, those who make tawbah, and make me of the purified. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al. And the dua to recite after wudu, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And there are four fara'id of wudu. The first is washing the face from the forehead to the lower portion of the chin and from one earlobe to the other. If the beard is dense, it will be necessary to wash only that part of the beard which is on the face. It will not be fard for water to reach the skin under the beard in wudu. As for the hair that exceeds the circumference of the face, that is the beard hair that suspends on the face, that's not onto the face, it will be sunnah to make khilal of that hair, to pass one's wet fingers through that hair. On the other hand, if the beard is sparse and the skin under the beard is visible, then it is also fard to wash the beard as well as the skin beneath the beard. If a person's beard is sparse, a person's beard just started growing, which is not thick to such an extent that the skin under the beard is visible, then it is also fard to make sure that the skin under that hair, that part of the face, is washed as well. The second fard of wuzu is washing of both arms once, washing both hands from the fingertips up to and including the elbows. The third is making masah of quarter of the head once. The fourth, washing of both the feet, including the ankles ones. If a person is to make wudu, and any of these are left out, then the wudu is not done. That part has to be washed again. If any of the fard actions are left out, or a hair's breadth place is left dry, the wudu will be incomplete. So if a person didn't rub any part of the body properly, his face, his hands, his feet, if one hair's breadth have to be left dry, the wudu is not complete. If the four parts become soaked in the rain or have been washed by swimming or taking a bath, that is, if a person is in the rain or a person is swimming, and his face, his hands, up to his elbows, and his feet become wet in the rain, become soaked in the rain, or they become wet with a person, due to a person swimming or taking a bath, then even if the person did not have the intention of making wudu, the wudu will still be done. While making wudu, the eyes should not be closed so tightly that the water is prevented from moistening the eyelashes or blocking the entry of the water into the eye wells. To do so is makruh tahrimi. If even one eyelash remains dry or water has not entered the eye wells, the wudu will be incomplete. The person's eyebrows, his eyelashes should be wet, and this water should go into the eye as well. Wudu will not be valid if any substance which does not allow water to seep through sticks on any of the four limbs that are far to be washed. If gum, paint, cutex, etc., if they stick to any of these four limbs, then the wudu will not be done. If after making wudu, one realizes that any part was covered, then he should remove the object from that body part, from that limb, and he should only wash that limb. There is no need to repeat the entire wudu. During wudu, if one doubts whether a certain portion was washed or not, then that part should be washed again. However, if such doubt occurs after the completion of the wudu, then the wudu is complete. There is no need to go and repeat, wash that limb again. No notice should be taken of the doubt. If after wudu one remembers that a certain part was not washed, if one is certain that during the wudu he had missed out, he had not washed his hand, then he should return and wash the hand again. But if he has a doubt, he is unsure whether it was washed or not, then he should discard the thought. He shouldn't entertain the thought, the doubt. So if one remembers that a certain part was not washed or that masah was not made, then the limb should be washed or the masah should be made. There is no need to repeat the entire wudu. If one passes wind while making wudu, one should recommence the wudu. In the sunnats of wudu, if a sunnah is left out, the wudu is complete, but the full reward of wudu is not gained. The wudu will be done, a person can perform salah, but he will not attain the full reward of performing the wudu. The first is a person should make intention that he is performing the wudu to rid himself of minor impurity, hadath asghar, and to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The second sunnah of wudu is to recite Bismillah before starting the wudu. The third is washing the hands thrice up to the wrists. The first thing he should do is wash his hands thrice up to the wrist, including the wrist. The fourth is using a miswak. The fifth, gargling of the mouth. Water should be put into the mouth. After gargling, the water should be taken out of the mouth again. The sixth, passing water into the nostrils thrice. Care should be taken that it is not put right up, high up past the hard part of a person's nose while a person is fasting. The seventh, khilal, that is to pass wet fingers into the beard. The eighth sunnah is khilal of the fingers and toes, and to put your fingers in between one another, and to put the small finger of the left hand between each two toes. The ninth is washing of each limb three times. To wash each limb once is fard, and to wash it thrice is sunnah. The tenth is masah of the whole head once. If a person makes masah of quarter of his head, the fard is done, the wudu is valid. But to gain this virtue of making a sunnah wudu, masah should be made of the entire head. And the wudu should be done systematically. It should be done in the order that it should be done. A person shouldn't gargle first, wash his hands second, make masah of his head last. By doing this, he will be leaving out the sunnah of wudu. The sunnah is the wudu should be done systematically. And washing of each part one after the other without any pause, without delay, is also sunnah, so that no part dries up before the wudu is completed. And the mustahab actions of wudu. Carrying out a mustahab act brings reward, but no sin. A person is not sinful if he leaves out any of the mustahab acts of wudu. The first to begin from the right. When washing the hands, to wash the right hand first, the left hand second. To wash the right foot first and the left foot second is mustahab. And to make masah of the nape, the back of one's neck of the nape is mustahab. Not to take assistance from anyone, to make wudu by oneself. And to face the qibla is also mustahab. As well as to sit on a high and clean place so that the water doesn't mess a person, doesn't splash on a person. And it is mustahab to make a fresh wudu for every salah. So even if a person has wudu, it's still mustahab. A person will be rewarded if he makes a fresh wudu. In the makruh actions of wudu, committing of a makruh act in wudu causes the full blessings of wudu to be lost. Although the wudu will not have to be repeated. So if any of the following acts are done during wudu, then the person will lose the reward of the wudu. But the wudu will be done. Any salah he performs after that will be accepted. He will be in a state of wudu, but he will miss out the reward, the thawab of the wudu. The first is to make wudu in a dirty place. The second, to clean the nose with the right hand. The third, to talk of worldly affairs. The fourth, to do wudu against the sunnah. So any of the sunnah method of wudu, to go against that method is makruh. To strike water against the face, causing it to splash. To use too much or too little water comes in a hadith that to use, even if a person is making wudu at the seashore or at the banks of a river, but if he uses more water than is necessary, that also is makruh, that also is counted as wastage. To wash the limbs more than thrice is makruh. To make masah three times with fresh water. Masah of the head is only made once, masah of the nape. To make masah three times, to take fresh water each time is also makruh. In the breakers of wudu, the first, discharging of urine, stool, or the coming out of anything from the private parts, like madi, precoital fluid. The second breaker of wudu is discharging of gases. The third, vomiting a mouthful. If one vomits phlegm, then the wudu does not break. The fourth, to fall asleep lying down or by resting the body against something, and sleeping so soundly that if the support were taken away, one would fall down. Then one's wudu will break. Wudu will not break in the following cases. If a person sitting down without a support and his body swings from the left to the right. Or if a person dozes off lightly while lying down to such an extent that he can hear the people around him, he can understand what they are saying, then his wudu will not break. If a person sleeps while sitting down with his hips pressed on his heels, so he sits cross-legged and his hips are pressed on his heels, or he sits with his legs to the right or to the left with his hips firmly on the floor, then his wudu will not break. Or if a person sleeps in any of the sunnah postures of salah, except if a woman sleeps in the posture of sajda, so if a male is to sleep in any of the postures of salah, any of the sunnah postures of salah, then his wudu will not break. The only time a person's wudu will break, if a woman sleeps in the posture of sajda, then her wudu will break. And to faint due to some illness or to any other reason, so if a person has to faint, then he has to repeat his wudu will break. If a person becomes insane, his wudu breaks. Or if a person is so intoxicated that he cannot walk straight, a person laughing aloud in salah, or when the male and female private parts touch one another, even if there is no discharge, the tenth, flowing of blood or pus from any part of the body. If the blood stays in the wound, a person has a wound and the blood is on the wound, it doesn't surpass the wound, doesn't go onto the skin, then the wudu will not break. But once the blood moves out of the wound onto another body part, onto a person's skin, then the wudu will break. Similarly, if clots of blood come out of the nose while blowing it, wudu will not break. Wudu will only break if the blood is in the fluid state. If a person is to blow his nose and some blood clots come out, then the wudu will still be intact, his wudu will not break. He won't have to restart his wudu again. But if blood flows out from the person's nose, then the wudu will break. If a pimple has to burst in the eye, then the wudu will only break if the fluid comes out of the eye. If a pimple has to burst in someone's eye, as long as the fluid remains in the eye, no, the person's eye doesn't water, no liquid fluid comes out from the eye, the wudu will still be intact. If the saliva of a person is reddish because of blood, then his wudu will break. However, if the blood is so little that redness cannot be seen in the saliva, the wudu will not break. If blood appears on a toothpick, the wudu will not be broken if the effect of blood cannot be seen in the saliva. If a person uses a toothpick and there's some stain of blood on it, but when he goes and gargles his mouth or he spits out, there's no trace of the blood, then wudu will not be broken. Fluid from a paining ear will break the wudu, even if there is no sore or pimple in the ear. If a person's ear is paining and any fluid comes out, then the wudu will break. Liquid that comes out of the eye while yawning will not break the wudu. Extraction of blood will break the wudu unless it is so little that it would not have flowed out of the wound if it came out in itself. Note, a doubt will not break wudu. If a person doubts whether he had passed wind or not, his wudu will not break. Only when one is convinced that his wudu is broken, then it will be regarded as broken. If one is not certain, then there is no need to entertain the doubt, the waswasa, and to repeat one's wudu. Wudu is fard for any salah, including janazah salah and sajda tilawat. Wudu is compulsory, it's wajib for performing tawaf and for touching the Quran. Wudu is masnoon when going to sleep and when having a bath. It's mustahab to make wudu before having a ghusl and before sleeping. Wudu is mustahab in the following cases: when calling out the azan or iqamah, when delivering any khutbah, when attaining any religious knowledge, when touching any Islamic books, when offering or replying to salam, when engaged in dhikr, when waking up from sleep, after eating camel meat, number 9, after bathing a dead body, after giving ghusl to a dead body, after carrying the janazah, the funeral, for keeping wudu intact, to remain in the state of wudu, when making ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Arafat, when a person is in Arafat, when making sa'i between Safa and Marwa, when a person is in janabat, a person is in major impurity, he's in need of a ghusl, and he wishes to eat something, then it's mustahab for him to first make wudu and then consume whatever he wishes to eat. When intending to have relations with one's spouse, if an act is done which according to other imams, wudu will be broken. So according to another madhab, if a person does a certain act and his wudu will be broken, but according to us in the Hanafi madhab, the wudu will not be broken. It will still be mustahab to repeat one's wudu. An example, in the Shafi madhab, if a husband has to touch the wife or the wife has to touch the husband, then the wudu will break. So although for us the wudu will be valid, but it's still mustahab to repeat the wudu. Inshallah, we'll continue from here tomorrow. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين